this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show, or welcome back into the whole show, I should say. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Joining me on our first Advantage Hotline, Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets. He's our Nuggets go-to guy, and I know we're still a little ways out of getting into, you know, deep preseason talk and such, but, you know, we're looking around the NBA. We're getting excited. We see the new contracts, the new players coming to this team, new roster. Calvin Booth taking over as president of basketball operations. All that. It is a very intriguing time for the Denver Nuggets, so we'll be excited to catch up with Brendan each and every week. Brendan, my man, great to catch up with you as always.
Yeah, good to be back, man. There's never an off season for talking Nuggets, you know what I mean?
So. I agree 100% with you, man. We could be diving into this stuff all the time, and let's do it. Let's take a look. So, with the Nuggets, you know, you and I have talked a lot about Calvin Booth, and you know, last week we were going over the most important off season for the Nuggets, and it would seem, at least on paper right now, that Calvin's done a great job of living up to all that hype. We'll see what it all looks like when we get this team out on the floor. But I kind of wanted to delve into the West with you, and maybe that's not even set in stone yet because I don't know where KD's going to go. I mean, is Kyrie Irving still set? I mean, what does that look like? But, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But when you look at the West, obviously Golden State, you know, they're back. they're definitely back, poised to do it again. You look around the West, though, and how many of these teams do you think are the ones that stand in front of the Nuggets in that championship window, Hope? And what some of these teams really did to bolster their lineups?
Yeah, I think there are three teams that probably here in Denver we would willingly group the Nuggets with. You could argue maybe the Nuggets are looking up at, and that's the Suns, although there's a big kind of question mark on that. We'll elaborate. The Warriors, who obviously have nothing to prove to anyone, and the Clippers, who I think are in that Nuggets boat of, you know, between the last time they played the Nuggets in the bubble and now, they've improved on paper. They've got some very important players coming back from injury, and so despite however competitive they looked last season, which was very considering what they lacked, this is a team that I think we can slot into the very best teams in the West. You know, we did an exercise on the DNBA show recently, kind of ranking the best starting lineups and best benches out West. And the Clippers are really the only team in that top four, top three of starters that boast the depth that's really impressive. So they've done a good job. I think they're ready to be switchy defensively. They don't have a ton of holes, and obviously they like their star players. So that's a new name in the mix, along with some of the obvious ones here from the last two seasons.
Well, let's keep kind of going down the list, too. Obviously, I want to hang, how do you beat Golden State? You know, you're trying to get better than the team that won it last year. But let's elaborate on the Suns a bit. That was the team I kind of thought, man, they could run away with this thing ultimately. But as we all saw what Golden State was able to do, and some shockers there in the mix, too. I thought Memphis, you know, they surprised the heck out of me as the season continually progressed. I thought maybe at some point they'd drop off. But talk to us about those Phoenix Suns, because I think Phoenix Suns fans felt like their window was wide open. And, you know, what is that feeling like now?
Yeah, it's the million-dollar question for me. Outside of Kevin Durant, it's the next biggest question for me. What do the Suns look like? And this is going to be a real test of their culture. Obviously, things got funky with DeAndre Ayton. They seemingly didn't want to pay him. Then they matched. All the same, he's still back in that uniform, and so they're bringing much of the same talent back. Will things be different mentally? They seem to have a swagger. They seem to have an edge. They got embarrassed by Dallas flat out. So how do they respond? You know, they could come out and win 60-plus games in the regular season. People will still have the same questions about them, and so they can't really prove much to themselves until that postseason. What do we know? What did they learn? Are they going to wilt? How old does Chris Paul look? These are all real questions, but one scenario is that they're just a great team again. Then that's something I don't think enough people are considering, that the talent's all still there. They still can win the West, but again, a real gut punch, and how does their culture hold up now in the face of basically a make it or break it kind of season?
Well, and Chris Paul, I mean, 4 years ago, I was thinking maybe he's on his way out, and then he goes to Phoenix and then resurges everything, and it's like, wow. He was like, I know Golden State's terrifying, but I'd be pretty cool as a Nuggets guy never seeing Chris Paul go up against the Nuggets again. He hits that little sweet little jump shot right in his little, you know, a couple feet away from the rim that it's just ridiculous. Nobody can stop it on the Nuggets roster.
They cannot. And even with the defensive upgrades, you're always going to wonder about that pick and roll defense. One thing too about the Nuggets against Chris Paul is they didn't have Jamal Murray, and I think part of the defense there is offense. Chris Paul, as you mentioned, older guy, looked like he thought that career was winding down for a little. You got to push him on the other end. He has to play defense. You got to put him in pick and rolls. And I think it's much easier for him when it's Facu Campazzo as opposed to Jamal Murray to just sort of reserve his energy on one end and walk into whatever he wants to on the next. Whereas it's just a more taxing experience when he's also chasing Jamal Murray around screens. So that's an element of it. But yeah, I'm with you. Chris Paul seems to not fear this team. He definitely knows what the game plan is. Offensively.
I think that's a great point, though. I mean, you can, great scorers, you know, if you force them to have to play really good defense, otherwise they're just going to give it up on the other end, you can wear them out on that side. So I think that's a great point. What's the reality, though, of a Kevin Durant Phoenix marriage or a Kevin Durant Western Conference marriage of any kind? Because obviously, you know, if he goes somewhere else other than Denver, which we all agree is probably not realistic, then it's going to be worth talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just having this conversation yesterday with a buddy. Very interesting how there's not a clear front runner yet. We've seen different names in the mix. At first it was Phoenix, but then it kind of looked like that wouldn't happen. We heard Boston come up for a bit, but then that went silent. Is Miami in the mix? It's just strange how many long stretches of silence we've had on this matter, considering it's a player like Kevin Durant. And so I don't know yet. I'm certainly hopeful and wishful it's not the Suns for the Nuggets' purposes. And I would just hope he stays in the East. Maybe Miami, maybe Boston. It's just such a weird scenario between both he and Kyrie, who you'd assume once they're available on the trade market, these rumors are flooding in, or there's a particularly interested team who comes way over the top. But so far, it looks like there's a possibility that both of them our Nets entering next season, and we'll see how it plays out.
Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets joining me. Isn't this the weirdest thing? I mean, because it was hot and heavy there for a while. And then, I mean, we're going to get to that point where maybe nothing actually changes with Kevin Durant. It's mind-boggling. The whole thing is mind-boggling. The failed experiment there with the Nets, the way it went down, those three guys, you know, James Harden, that whole thing was weird. And then it was weird with Kyrie's last year. That was a train wreck of a situation, if I've ever seen one.
For sure. And I think a lot about how in the best situations, these organizations have been able to develop a mutual respect between they and their star players. And no one's too naive, but you think of Miami, you think of Golden State, they don't just do whatever Steph asks. And while, of course, that's a big part of their priority, they ask some things of their stars. There are lines in terms of who's in charge and what's asked of everyone and what accountability looks like. And with all due respect to the players involved in Brooklyn, I mean, now you've got Kevin Durant who's saying, it's got to be me or this front office head coach pairing, when we all know that Kevin Durant handpicks that head coach in Steve Nash. And so you've seen an organization sell their culture for top-end talent. Maybe it works out and they win a title and no one regrets it. But we've seen the other foot come down now, the other shoe drop. And that's an organization that looks kind of spineless right now and doesn't have a lot of options.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it does. It puts them in a very difficult spot. It feels like a lose-lose situation for them. But I guess we shall see. Like you said, if something does happen, it rocks the entire NBA world again with where Kevin Durant ends up and even Kyrie Irving. But until then, we'll just see what happens. The Golden State Warriors, Brendan, when you look at them, obviously, I knew once Klay Thompson started to get healthy, and maybe that took a little longer than they first anticipated, but you knew they'd be back at some point. I just didn't think they'd bring back a hell of a bench like that, too. I mean, they had everything. Obviously, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins was an all-star, was sensational. I thought he was such a tremendous piece to what they were doing. Draymond Green, you know, he doesn't care about scoring anymore, but defensively and just leading this team, talk whatever that might be, he's doing it. And then you add in Jordan Poole and just a bunch of guys that really made up one heck of a depth chart, especially when you got to the playoffs. I just thought, man, who's going to beat this team?
They're so good. And you could look at that roster and say, okay, they got one more, but Klay didn't look so good, and Draymond's getting older. That's all well and good and true. But they also have wild cards now in the youngsters, James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga, There's Moody. We don't know how good these guys are yet. Maybe they're not a sufficient bench to help defend the title, or the flip side of that is they look a lot better than any of us expected, and you're looking at a next generation of Warriors. So they're obviously still right in the mix. And you just have to imagine how comfortable that core feels playing together at this point. You see teams who think they know what their identity is across 82 games, then they get punched in the mouth. Things get real tight real fast. And I think for the Warriors at this point, they're just looking across the court, seeing each other and knowing, how many times have we been through this? How many times have we come out the other side of this as victors? I just can't imagine the level of confidence they'll enter this season with.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, you said, okay, if you can slow down Steph Curry and Klay Thompson scoring, great, and then maybe you can beat this team. Well, then enter all these other wild cards. And again, I thought Andrew Wiggins' driving ability in those playoffs, just getting to the rim and getting rebounds, like monster rebound games for him in the playoffs. And as we said, Jordan Poole can be a wild card at times, but we saw that with the Nuggets. I mean, at any point in time, he's going to just go off. He might take ill-advised shots, but there's a good chance they're going in. I mean, anytime he's stepping forward over Steph Curry to take free throw shots, you're going, what is happening in Golden State, man? Will they ever stop reloading?
Unbelievable. And yeah, that's another, does he get that much better coming into this next season? We'll get back to the Nuggets real quick. You mentioned Andrew Wiggins.
And yeah.
It's just a total blueprint for Aaron Gordon. And I think he figured it out. I think he the first half of that series, he was like, okay, we got to make up for the absences of these guys. And he was getting punked by Draymond. And he kind of responded in a Wiggins way, attack the rim, come down with some monster rebounds that people weren't expecting you to. And you think about how this healthy Nuggets team looks, so much offensive firepower. It is going to be Aaron Gordon who can catch the defense sleeping by driving or crashing the glass hard, create all these matchup problems because he's massive playing alongside Porter. So I think he learned this lesson in the playoffs, but I'm really excited to watch Aaron Gordon fill the exact role Denver wanted him to when they went out and got him.
Isn't it crazy? Sometimes you can, I mean, a lot of times you can't simplify it, but sometimes you can. And you can just look at an Aaron Gordon and say, man, you are a tough dude. You can play with that aggression in the paint. And when you do it, good things do happen. And it's almost like he noticed that too, Brendan, talking after that series, like what kind of player I need to be now. It sounded like the light was starting to come on for him more. I guess we'll see if that's a consistent thing as the regular season approaches. But wouldn't you just love to see Aaron Gordon own that up and go, you know what, I could take threes once in a while, but I need to kind of reserve some parking in the paint for most of the season.
I think he gets it. I think he's excited to get back to it. I mean, remember the huge smile on that guy's face after the trade, just playing in a system he's never played in before. And more to the point, I mean, for however long he's been in the league, these were inconsequential reps that he was getting in Orlando. And even the playoff series he was in, that team never really had much chance to do anything. And I think this is a guy who's just sort of sensing the moment. And real competitors feed off of this. He's got an opportunity to improve his game, his reputation, and to win a championship. And that's a rare opportunity. And I think Aaron Gordon gets it, man. I'm very excited for his season.
It's funny because I was texting you kind of some thoughts to go over. MPJ was one of those, but you took it here, and I'm glad you did because I think Aaron Gordon's one of those guys. You know, MPJ, I think even without the injury, there's a question mark on him on what kind of player he can be. I know the Nuggets believed he could be a top-tier player. They wouldn't have signed him to that monster contract, but I think you're right. I think Aaron Gordon becomes, I don't want to say X factor, but if he can really be that guy that keeps defenses' heads on a swivel where they're constantly keeping him in their peripheral because you just don't know what he's going to do down there, I think that opens up everything on the offensive side and again on the defensive side too. So I think that guy becomes a pretty huge piece for the Nuggets, even with Jamal Murray and MPJ coming back. I think if he can live up to what we believe he can be in the paint, that's going to be a huge difference maker.
There's no doubt about it. You can look at Jamal, Jokic, and Porter the way you looked at that Golden State core last year. They have that firepower, and it's just that Wiggins thing. It's the defense is so committed to stopping this seemingly unstoppable offense, and then they just forget about the freak athlete that's also on the court. Defensively, Gordon was asked to guard every guard last season because Monte and Barton just couldn't do it. And the truth is, while he can, he's a wing defender. He's supposed to be guarding the Lucas of the world. And so without so much offensive responsibility, without having to guard Trae Young every night, I'm curious if we see Aaron Gordon return to that seemingly all-defensive form we saw initially.
Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets, last one for you, man, and we'll let you slide out of here. Just a random thought here. Is there pressure on Michael Malone as we head into this season? You know, you got your MVP locked up. You made some moves here. I think Nuggets fans want to see this team at least get into that Western Conference Finals. But like you said, there's a lot of competition. The West is extremely tough. Is there pressure on Michael Malone to get that far this season? And if not, maybe we're having a different discussion?
Definitely, definitely. And I don't think he's shying away from it. I think he's even willing to own and create some of it, not just for himself, but the entire org. I think he wants that sense of urgency this year. The wasted years are over, and it's time to get back in gear. And to, you know, the particular point of the question, if they underperform this year while healthy, that's absolutely a conversation that'll happen, at least in the media, I'm sure on the ownership level. And consider that this organizational alignment between Malone, Connolly, and the Kroenkes that looked so strong for so many years, well, we've seen some shifts now recently. So I would imagine everyone feels a little less secure. But the bottom line is, whether your job's on the line or not, I think everyone in this organization understands the time is right now.
Yeah, that's. I think we're all kind of feeling it. It's been a fun upward trajectory for Michael Malone for a while. But maybe last year was that first year we kind of said, all right, they kind of crested a little bit. Can they bust through that into this season? And it's going to be fun to find out. Brendan, what are you working on for us, man, that we can check out? You guys do such a great job with DNVR Nuggets.
Yeah, well, I'm about to go live with the boss out of Mars there, the DNBA show. We're live every 12:30 to 1:30. Mountain time, obviously, here in Denver. So check us out. We're talking Nuggets every day. I joked with you earlier that there's no off season, but for me, there really is no off season. So that's where you can find us.
Hey, stupid question. When do we get rolling and when guys start checking in for camp and everything? When does that happen? Do you have a date yet?
Next month. Yeah, I do have the date. I don't have it off the top of my head, but they're going to be in San Diego in September.
All right, man. It's not that far away. All right, Brendan, we appreciate you as always. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, thanks, brother.
Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets. A lot to unpack there, but I do think Aaron Gordon's going to be a big, big piece to this puzzle. 42 minutes after the hour. Jades, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.